Well, welcome everyone. This is Dr. Hedberg, and welcome to the Dr. Hedberg Show. Today I'm going to be talking about thyroid symptoms in women. So this is going to be very specific to women. One of the things we know is that women experience autoimmune disease at a much greater rate than men. About pretty much double the prevalence that men experience autoimmune disease. And, of course, if you've been listening to me or reading my material, you know that 90% of the cases of hypothyroidism are due to autoimmune disease. And so that specific disease is Hashimoto's disease, also known as Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And Hashimoto's is the most common autoimmune disease in the world. And so it's a big, big problem. And it is significantly growing in the U.S., growing around the world. So more and more people are coming down with it, and unfortunately, mostly women. So such a large number of people experiencing it, and a large number of women experiencing it, we need to talk about the symptoms and how they are specific to men. So let's talk about why women are more prone to thyroid disorders than men. And so the first reason is basically what I just said. More women get Hashimoto's than men. So that's one of the reasons why they're more prone to it. So one example would be estrogen, and too much estrogen in the body can inhibit a woman's it'll inhibit her ability to fight an infection like the Epstein-Barr virus. And we know that Epstein-Barr virus is a major, major cause of Hashimoto's disease. So having high estrogen, this kind of suppresses the part of the immune system that is able to control the Epstein-Barr virus. And so this is one of the reasons why women experience Hashimoto's at a greater rate than men. So that would be one example. The other things to note are related to chronic inflammation. And unfortunately, women have it a lot worse than men when it comes to physical and emotional stress. So let's talk about some of that. So when there's relationship stress, so when a woman and a man have a conflict, whether it's an argument, a disagreement, something to do with the kids, things like that, the woman will actually become much more inflamed than the man. So if we did blood tests on a woman after an argument, her markers of inflammation will increase, whereas a man's will not. So that's one thing. And then any kind of family stress in general, or family stress related to their partner. So if there's stress around a lack of intimacy, stress around disagreements or communication, just stress, not necessarily with the spouse, but just directly with the children. So any kind of conflict there is going to increase inflammation in women more than men. And then also if there's just conflict with family members, whether it's the mother or the sister, you know, cousins, whoever it may be, the in-laws, whoever it may be, any kind of conflict there is also going to create chronic inflammation. Another example would be lack of sleep. So if you take a man and a woman and you deprive both of them of sleep, and you do blood testing the next day, the women will be more inflamed and the men will not. So that's another issue to think about. And then gaining weight, when women gain weight, they become more inflamed than men who gain weight at the same rate. Social isolation. So when women are isolated from other women, or just socially isolated in general, women become more inflamed than men. Most of you probably know that when women live together, their menstrual cycles will coordinate. Well, there's a lot more going on there. It's not just the reproductive hormones. It's also affecting a woman's brain, her neurotransmitters, her mood, reproductive hormones, adrenal hormones. It affects the immune system. And it affects the level of inflammation, of course. And so all of those come into play when it comes to thyroid disorders and Hashimoto's. So that's kind of a general overview of all the different types of, you know, physical and emotional stresses that women will experience, and they just become much more inflamed than men. And it's inflammation, chronic inflammation, that leads to autoimmune disease. And then we'll also see autoimmune disease appear after a major traumatic, psychological or physical event. So death of a loved one, you know, death of a best friend, a family member, a divorce, possibly a really severe physical trauma, like a major car accident. All of these things, these major traumas, can also trigger autoimmunity. So that those are some of the big reasons why women have it worse than men when it comes to autoimmune disease. And so when we go talk specifically about the symptoms, the main symptoms, the big three are going to be fatigue, and that can, we could also say, a low stamina with that low fatigue, weight gain with an inability to lose the weight, and depression. Those are the big three in hypothyroidism in women. So of course the fatigue is there because the metabolism is more sluggish than it used to be. There's weight gain because women can't burn fat and metabolize the food that they eat. And on top of that, when someone is hypothyroid, they become more insulin resistant. And insulin resistance is a major factor in weight gain and an inability to lose weight. Also, depression. One of the reasons why women get depressed when they're hypothyroid is because their serotonin levels drop. And because thyroid hormone is very important for serotonin metabolism. Serotonin is our feel-good hormone. Most of the antidepressants are targeting serotonin. So that's one of the reasons why the mood gets low in women. More symptoms would be alopecia, which is hair loss, muscle weakness or pain, muscle pain, joint pain, sensitivity to cold. And we would expect that with a sluggish metabolism. Dry skin, hair, and nails. So moisture in the skin is created through the metabolism of fats. So if you're not burning fat well, then the skin will dry up as well as other areas. And then the nails become dry and brittle. And so the brittle nails, that's related to that goes all the way back to the stomach, actually, because if you're hypothyroid, you'll produce less stomach acid. And when you have low stomach acid, then you're not going to digest and absorb all of your vitamins and minerals the way that you should. And the same thing with your food. So the proteins, the fats, and the carbohydrates. So everything is going to suffer. And then iron is also going to suffer. We know that in hypothyroidism, iron levels can drop. So I talk a lot about the ferritin levels. And the ferritin levels, those are how much, that's how much iron is actually stored in your body. And of course, women lose iron every month during the menstrual cycle. And if they're having an extremely heavy period, heavy bleeding, heavy flow, they're going to lose a lot more iron than they normally would. And then if the diet is also low in iron, and the absorption and assimilation is not there because of the low stomach acid, then you sort of get this vicious cycle because we have the hypothyroidism, and then that leads to the excess estrogen, and the excess estrogen creates the heavy menstrual flow, and then that creates a loss of iron. And then when the iron gets low, and the ferritin gets low, one of the things we know is that the thyroid will then suffer even more. If the ferritin is low, usually below 50, we start to see problems with the thyroid if the ferritin is less than 50. So you can sort of see how that vicious cycle kind of feeds itself. One drops, and then that affects the other, and vice versa. Constipation we would expect because T3, which is the most active form of thyroid hormone, That significantly controls what we call peristalsis, which is the movement of food through the intestines. Sleep problems, that's going to be related to blood sugar and serotonin and melatonin metabolism. So we'll see sleep problems in hypothyroid. We talked about the heavy menstrual flow, the PMS, that is again related to the excess estrogen. And the puffy face, we'll see that as well. We'll see some fluid retention in the face due to hypothyroid, a hoarse voice, difficulty swallowing. So those are a lot of the big symptoms in hypothyroidism with women. One of the other things that we'll see is in the beginning stages of Hashimoto's disease, we might actually see hyperthyroid symptoms for a short period of time. And that's because we have this surge of inflammation from the antibodies against the gland. So we might almost see like hyperthyroid symptoms where there's excessive energy, anxiety, rapid heart rate, insomnia, some weight loss, just kind of feeling agitated, like you want to just jump out of your skin. Those can all be related to hyperthyroid, and we may see that in the beginning stages of Hashimoto's. So those are definitely some things to be aware of. Now, you know, with that loss of the ferritin, the iron, and the excess estrogen, and things like that, we'll also see issues with vitamin D absorption, metabolism, and vitamin D levels may suffer, which are really important for Hashimoto's and balancing the immune system. So you won't necessarily have all of these symptoms that we talked about. You might just have a few. Everyone's going to be different. But one of the things we'll see is the thyroid numbers, like the TSH, may start to increase, but you might not necessarily need thyroid hormone. So, for example, if the ferritin gets very low, then the TSH will increase. And we might also see a decrease in free T4, free T3, the most active forms of thyroid hormone. And really the issue is, you know, getting the estrogen down and getting the ferritin levels, the iron levels, back to normal. And then we have all these different causes of the Hashimoto's that need to be looked at. So some of the main ones are Lyme disease, Epstein-Barr virus, blood sugar imbalances, and things like PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, adrenal hormone imbalances, leaky gut syndrome, gluten, heavy metal toxicities like mercury. We talked about too much estrogen, and then various GI infections, so intestinal parasites, yeast, bacterial overgrowth, Yersinia enterocolitica, it's a gut bacteria that triggers Hashimoto's, different virus. There's a lot more viruses and bacteria that can trigger Hashimoto's as well. Vitamin D deficiency, selenium deficiency. We'll also see vitamin B12 deficiencies in hypothyroidism. Then there's going to be genetic components like genetic polymorphisms regarding gluten, and also genetic polymorphisms with the vitamin D receptor. So some patients with Hashimoto's, they have a genetic defect with the vitamin D receptor, and so they actually require a lot more vitamin D than the average person. And vitamin D is the great balancer of the immune system. So that's also something that can be looked at through genetic testing. And then I also mentioned the traumatic emotional or physical event that can trigger the Hashimoto's. So a lot of things there to look at. So in conventional medicine, the approach is basically thyroid hormone replacement, usually levothyroxine. Synthroid is the name brand, and that's actually going to work quite well for a lot of people. But I'm seeing all the people that that doesn't work well for, and also seeing the people that have tried Armour and Naturethroid, and that's not even working well either, or even just taking T3 by itself. The unfortunate thing is that conventional medicine, they don't really have a treatment or an approach for Hashimoto's. So if you have Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism, you get levothyroxine. If you don't have Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism, then you get levothyroxine. So there's no real treatment for the autoimmune component, and that's where the functional medicine approach comes in. Doing a lot more investigative work, some digging, some detective work to really figure out, you know, what's causing the Hashimoto's, because it's going to be different in everyone. I'll see, you know, one patient who has Hashimoto's because of the Epstein-Barr virus, and then I'll see another patient with Hashimoto's because they have celiac disease, undiagnosed celiac disease, and then another patient has a genetic defect in their vitamin D receptor, and then another patient, they have the Yersinia enterocolitica infection in the gut, et cetera, et cetera. So there's all these different possibilities. There's no single one cause or treatment for the Hashimoto's. And so that's where the detective work comes in. So that pretty much covers the thyroid symptoms that are specific to women. Didn't really talk much about infertility, but needless to say, it will be very difficult to conceive if you're hypothyroid. And then if you do get pregnant, you do want to be sure that your thyroid hormone levels are really where they should be, because that can actually lead to, you know, some birth issues, especially related to the IQ of the baby if the mother is hypothyroid throughout the pregnancy. Iodine deficiency, you know, that can be an issue in pregnancy. Selenium, that's been shown to really help prevent what we call postpartum thyroiditis, which is the development of Hashimoto's disease after giving birth. That's a common, actually quite a common trigger of Hashimoto's, and I do see that quite a bit where the patient's health was fine and then they get pregnant and they give birth, and then pretty much everything goes downhill after that, and they usually develop Hashimoto's. So a lot of the mother's nutrition, you know, is going to the child. So there's going to be a loss of the selenium and the iodine and things like that. But you don't want to take iodine if you do have Hashimoto's, because that's been shown to increase the antibody levels. It increases inflammation in the thyroid gland, and it really can make things worse. And it's also a potential trigger, taking too much iodine. So that's one important thing to note as far as supplementation goes. All right, so that's thyroid symptoms in women. This is Dr. Hedberg. And if you go to drhedberg.com, you can look at the show notes, and that has links to a lot more articles and resources, getting into a lot more specifics into the things I talked about today, like the different infections and things like that that are connected to Hashimoto's. All right, this is Dr. Hedberg. Take care, and I will see you next time.